Welcome back to the gospel. It feels like it's been a month since we had the chance to talk to you guys. I hope you've missed us as half as much as we've missed you guys. Man, so much to talk about, so little time. We're going to hop right into it. I'm your host, Zay, the fantasy football fiend himself, and I got my guy, BK Wins. Holla at the people, BK.
Hey, all, and happy new year out there.
All right, quick rule for this show, and it should only be this show, maybe the next one. We'll see. If for some reason I'm in the middle of a sentence and stop talking, or if for some reason it seems like BK just keeps cutting me off, he didn't overnight become rude or intolerant of my rants and carrying on. I'm literally a couple of days past the flu, and that post-nasal drip was still kicking my behind. So at some point in time during this show, I'm pretty sure I'm just going to have a coughing fit and you guys are going to be like, what just happened? And you know, maybe I can go an hour without one, but I got Halls, I have cool water, and I have faith that we're going to make it through. With that being said, BK, a lot to go over. What's the good word for the week, my guy? Actually, I almost forgot something. Make sure you're following us on YouTube. The Gospel STP at The Gospel STP on YouTube. Follow the Facebook group or join the Facebook group if you haven't yet. And that's The Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. With that being said, we can officially go ahead and start the show. What's the good word for the week, my guy?
All right. NFL playoffs. Who's in? Any surprises? And who grabs the final AFC berth? So I'm going to run down who's in. In the AFC, we got the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, Texans, Steelers, and the Chargers. And the 1 through 6, they're in. And then in the NFC, we have the Lions, the Eagles, the Rams, the Vikings, the Commanders, and the Packers. They're all in. In the AFC, it comes down to the Broncos are the favorites right now, but we got the Bengals and the Dolphins hot in pursuit. And in the NFC, it's really down to the South. Is it going to be Baker and the Bucks, or is it going to be Hotlanta? What you think?
Well, I believe the Chiefs would prefer to face the Broncos if at all possible. So they're going to go ahead and set their guys in week 18. So that way the Bengals can't get in, who seem to kind of have a little bit of kryptonite for Superman when they meet up. So this would be one of the only times that something else that we'll talk about a little bit later could kind of make sense to me for some. But yeah, I'm feeling like the Broncos are right there. They'll end up being that AFC team by hook or by crook. And the NFC team, Tampa Bay has been on the grind, man. They've done their thing. They were able to hold it in the road when they were missing just players at the wrong time and the wrong players to be missed, but they still figured it out. Don't know that Miami can say or do the same thing. I wasn't very confident in Miami to begin the season, other than, you know, that there'll be a decent show. And the weather would be nice if you go to a game, but outside of that, they look really pretty, and then they do something stupid, and it's like, wow, that again, huh? I definitely don't know if they're 100%, including Tua, the number two wide receiver, their Waddle. Don't exactly know what's going on with him, so we'll have to kind of figure those things out as we go. But those are the two teams that I think will end up getting in, and honestly, not really too many surprises for me. You see it the same way, or?
I agree. So first, I agree. It's going to be the Broncos and the Buccaneers. So no issues there. I guess from a surprise standpoint, if we're looking at where we are this season to where they were projected before, I'm still going to go back to my two favorite teams, the Commanders and the Broncos. I don't think anybody thought that those two teams would be going to the playoffs. you know, and, you know, for Washington to be an 11 win team and very have a great chance to be 12-5 after playing Dallas, no CeeDee Lamb and no Dak, like, you know, and for the Broncos, if they win double digit wins with eating a $60 million dead cap for the Russell Wilson thing, and, you know, Bo Nix has been way better than anyone, including myself, thought he'd be at this point or at any point, to be honest. So I think to me, those are the two big surprises. The AFC is loaded with teams we thought would be there, and we knew Harbaugh would work his magic in LA. So I think for me, it's just really Denver. And in the NFC, I guess the one thing that's crazy to me is you have to go back to the old NFC East days, like Parcells and Jimmy Johnson and Joe Gibbs and all those guys roaming the sidelines, right? But have you ever seen a division recently like the NFC North where the Lions and Vikings are 14-2 and the Packers are going to win 11 or 12 games? Like, that is crazy to me how great that division has been.
Agreed. It feels a little bit like the AFC East, when the Patriots were doing their thing, but Buffalo wasn't too far behind, and Miami was right there on par with Buffalo any given game. Whoever's at home wins, whoever's away from home loses. It felt like that type of a division. And then with the lowly Jets being equal to the Bears, that kind of a breakdown, if you will. But yeah, love it.
So, you know, I brought this up for a few weeks, and it's kind of played out how we had talked about, right? The Steelers have been real in the last few games, really struggling down the stretch. What do you make of these late season woes? And can they right the ship?
Can they right the ship? Sure. Here's the thing, right? Every team normally goes through something at some point. And some of the games that they won, they might, I hate to say you weren't supposed to win, because if you win, you win, you lose, but a couple of the games where they won, it was just like, oh, they figured that thing out, but I've seen that game going either way. So now in this part of the season, a lot of the games that they figured out a way to win earlier, or are they just, the chips fell their way earlier, the chips aren't necessarily falling that way now. So my thing is, get it out of the way. Who cares? I mean, you're in the playoffs. Fix it by then. And I do believe you have the coach and the staff to be able to figure out a couple of those things. Some of the losses that you took, we wouldn't even be calling that same style of game if we were talking about the playoffs. So can it be fixed? Sure. What does a fix look like? Well, that's a whole nother question all in and of itself, because fixing this team still doesn't make them a Super Bowl contender, in my humble opinion. They are who they normally are, and they're going to have to add a couple of more dynamic pieces to be more than they normally are, which is the team that's able to make it to the playoffs, not have a losing record, and maybe win one game in the playoffs, if not get booted out the first year. I mean, excuse me, the first game. And I think that's the Steelers team we're going to see this postseason. They may win one game, they may not, but expectation is the genesis of disappointment. And the only people that are disappointed in the Steelers right now are the ones who had just way too high of expectation for what the team actually was. So that's kind of how I feel about the Steelers.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You know, when I look at it, look, I've been railing on their offense all year, right? Like, they just lack the playmakers to really threaten you. Russell Wilson's, he is what he is. He's not great. He's not elite. He's not a superstar. He's serviceable. But their best offensive weapon is Pickens, who's missed a couple games. He's been out. Without him, they really miss him because they don't have anybody to stretch the field. And it makes it that much harder for them to run the ball, which is what they've been really trying to do. Their defense, special teams, and coaching are terrific. But it's hard to win if you don't score. I know that sounds like very cliche-ish and very obvious. It's like saying, hey, you need to breathe to live. Like, thanks, you know, but, you know, I get that. But I mean, the one thing that will help them is if they finish in the 5 seed, they do get a very beatable Texans team in the first round. So they might be able to win that game, but that's about the max. Once they get past that first game, they'll be done after that for sure. I just think they need to address the offense, and they've had a very good year. They should feel great about the season they've had, but they're not a Super Bowl contender for the reasons you said.
All right, before we go to this next question, BK, we got to do something for the people.
Okay.
Let me clear my throat. I don't want to start a coughing fit. BK, can I get in 08?
08.
Io, my guy, you have no idea. But no, you probably do because you're an Ohio State fan. When I tell you, okay, well, actually, let me put the question out there before we hop in. College football playoff reactions, if you didn't guess the question. We'll start out with Ohio State because why not? I don't know why. Actually, I do know why. And I told you guys before the game why. I wasn't afraid of the coach. I wasn't afraid of the coach. And I'm not talking about Oregon's coach either. I'm talking about Ohio State's coach. He was able to start the game the way we normally look in the second half of a game because he already knew what he was up against. This wasn't the first go around. Let's fill him out. Let's see what happens. And then utilize that knowledge in the second half. I feel like Ryan Day knew that he was coaching for his job, so he decided to do something a little different. And this is going into last week, not just the Ohio State game, the second round. I'm talking about starting out last week against Tennessee. The Buckeyes came out with their hair on fire. That does not happen. I honestly believe in feel like he gave way a little bit more to Chip Kelly. That was Chip Kelly's offense, not Ryan Day's. That was Chip Kelly's catch me if you can offense, not what Ryan Day likes to do. I think someone finally got in his ear and said, hey, you can let this guy over here do his job or you won't have one. What are we doing? That's just how I felt about that game. I don't know if you saw it different or if you went into it with that same air of confidence that I did. When I tell you, I wasn't 1% worried at all. It was almost eerie and confusing. But exactly what I thought would happen is exactly what happened. What were your reactions to that game?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Remember, we talked probably before the holidays about one of the questions was, what team that played in the first round did I think had the best chance to win the title? And I said Ohio State, and for the reasons that you outlined, but I'm going to dive in a little bit more with this. So, one, Ryan Day and the Buckeyes team played with a sense of urgency. They played angry for what happened against Michigan, and they've taken it out on Tennessee and the Ducks. It helped that they've already seen the Ducks, so having already played them once is a big advantage. And the second part is, do you think Chip Kelly has forgotten how to coach against the team that he built many years ago? I know different cast of characters, different coach and all those things, but forgive the pun here, but once a duck, always a duck. So he knows what it's like. The game plan was masterful. They played with purpose. They played with passion. They did exactly what we've been calling about all year. And I have a little prediction about the game coming up against Texas, but we're going to have to wait for that later in the show. But what I will say is this Buckeyes team is what we expected all year, and they're scary, scary good. Scary good. And I would want to play this team if they keep coaching and being allowed to execute like they have in these last two games.
This is the right time to go from being upset to being confident. Holding on to the embers of the fire that has already been flamed, but not burning out. That's the message to the team for the next couple of games. As elated as I am about that outcome, BK, please tell me that you saw the Texas ASU game.
I did.
Explain to me like I'm two, how I lead with my helmet, hit you in your helmet. It's called as targeting. You review for targeting, and there's no targeting. If that wasn't the refs trying to keep the SEC afloat, I don't know what was. There should not be an SEC team left in the college football playoffs right now, because that should have been a 15-yard penalty and a chip shot field goal. And I, like, there's no explanation to fit what I saw other than if that's not targeting, then what is? You leapt forward with your head and hit the other guy in the head, and he got hurt on top of that. So what are we doing?
Well, sometimes in these games, you have to play against the other team and the officiating. And one of the things that I've bemoaned and complained about throughout this season on this show is officiating and replay, right?
Yeah.
What's the purpose of having a replay
to get
confirm the ruling on the field and them overturning a call that was correctly on the field? What were they looking at? What are they doing? And I'm going to go a step further. The replay official who screwed that up should forever be banned from said position. You can't be so reckless, egregious, and negligent in your job, missing literally the definition of targeting, and that be okay. So, yeah, he gone.
I just, that gave me a sour taste. That for that team to play, that boy Scatterball, OMG. That dude can ball. Like, he was the team. He practically threw himself the ball like four times. And like, he was the wide receiver, the tight end, the running back, the quarterback. Like, just give me the ball and move the hell out of the way so we can attempt to win this game. If they had started out playing that style of ball, they probably would have won that game, and it wouldn't have been left in the referee's hands. Now, and I know there is a Texas fan under the sound of my voice. I can hear it in my heart. So, well, that the game wasn't over. They still had a chance. Yeah, that's the point. It should have been over. You should have been the one without the chance to fix your wrongs in that particular instance. Because, man, amazing. Everything that you could ask for in a college football playoff game was in that game. And so the refs decided that they wanted the outcome to be in their hands instead of on the field. So, yeah, that's that kind of took me the wrong way. Then we'll talk about this in a minute too. I'll just stick to the reaction of the game for right now, and we'll get into the other part later. You'll know what I mean when we get to it. Notre Dame versus Georgia, and BK can attest to this because we talked before the game. Exactly happened what I thought was going to happen. I'm going to whisper this as to not upset a certain region of the country. The SEC isn't as good as you thought they were, huh? No, they aren't. Get over yourselves and treat people fairly going forward. How about that? Just a notion. But yeah, Notre Dame was supposed to win that game. They took care of business and moving on with life now.
Well, what's interesting to me is, not surprised that Penn State waxed the Broncos. Penn State was an 11-point favorite. They were the much more talented team. Boise had a great year, but outside of their terrific running back, they don't have a whole lot around him. Penn State's too good and too talented to have much of an issue there, and they were able to take care of business there. Outside of the officiating that you alluded to, thought Texas and Arizona State was an instant classic. What a great college football game. And then, you know, the Buckeyes, that game was over at halftime. I mean, they absolutely gave the Ducks a beating. And then, you know, last but not least, you know, like you said, I mean, you called it all week. You've been telling me for a week Notre Dame was going to win. I think for me, and we'll get more into the SEC a little bit later, but you look at what happened to Alabama. You know, Alabama played like they did most of the year. They played a great first half, an epic first half against Georgia, and almost blew that game right at home. And then they blew the doors off of LSU in Baton Rouge, which is still no easy task in a night game there. But outside of that game and a half, Bama just has a lot of mistakes, you know, like penalties and fumbles and other turnovers. And just like Milroe just, I laughed that he declared for the draft. Like, who's drafting him? Like the Mighty Ducks? And I know it's the wrong sport, but like, that's how ridiculous this is. Like, the guy can't read a defense. I've been saying this for 2 years. Like, when are we going to realize, stay in school and learn how to read a defense? You can't run around all the time, buy yourself time, and throw the ball up and deep ball and pray all the time. Like, it doesn't work like that. So, in South Carolina, it pains me to say this. I think for the Gamecocks, and you know I'm not in the excuse-making business, but I wonder truthfully how motivated they were knowing how close they were to the playoffs.
Nope. Not going to do it, BK. I can't let you do it. I can't. You know why I can't let you do it? Because this specific example is the one that I gave to you and Vander, and you both told me that the Gamecocks will run the Illini out of the building because the mid-level SEC is way better than the quote-unquote bottom level of the Big Ten. I told you that it wasn't true anymore, and I'm so glad that they put these two teams up against each other, because you got to see it with your own eyes that the number, what was it, 14, 13 team, whatever Carolina was, that some people were arguing that maybe they should have snuck into the tournament. People were arguing maybe Alabama should have snuck into the tournament. You see exactly what you get on a neutral field. Those teams are equal. The SEC is not your dad's SEC anymore. It's not that conference. And I just completely gave my rant that I was about to give when you asked the question that's coming up in the next segment. But it'll still stand. But go ahead, BK.
This is what we call baiting my buddy. That's what we did out there, by the way. That was a veteran move.
So
before we move into our truth and nothing but the truth, I'm just going to ask this question.
Okay.
From a prediction standpoint, now that it's set, who you got? Ohio State, Texas, and Penn State, Notre Dame.
Ohio State all the way. None of the other games even matter. Whatever games Ohio State is in, I'm not worried about no Texas. I'm not worried about no Notre Dame. Penn State, please. No. Ohio State is your national champion. Standing 10 toes down, confident. Texas does not skip. Did you see how they played against Arizona? Let me ask you this, BK. Is Texas that mediocre? Or is Arizona State that much better than a lot of people have given them credit for? And Texas is more dangerous than they look to be against Arizona State.
So you gave me a lot to respond to. So I'm going to go. So so obviously, as I alluded to earlier, the Ohio State Texas game, I'll discuss a little bit later in the show. I have Notre Dame going to the national title game. They will beat Penn State. There will not be Happy Valley in Nittany Lion Land. Notre Dame will take care of business. They'll be in the national title game. As far as your comment, look, I've been saying for 6 weeks now, Texas has been dying to lose. Quinn Ewers hasn't looked great. He hasn't looked healthy. It took the fourth quarter in overtime for him to actually have decent numbers. Look, Arizona State's better than people expected, for sure. I think they surprised the nation about just how dangerous they can be. But Texas just, there's teams that have it, and Texas just isn't it. Like, I'm just colorably not impressed. You know, they've had a great year. They've had a great year. I'm not taking away from their wins and losses. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. Did you win or did you not? They've won a lot. But the other part of it is the eye test. For me, it's not only who did you play, who did you beat, but how did you look? And when you struggled for a month and a half, anybody, when you're talking 18 to 22-year-olds, anybody can have a bad week or even two. But it's been a mediocre half a season coming down the stretch. Like, I just, yeah. Sorry, Matthew McConaughey. I know I'm going to get some probably hate mail from your fans and all the Longhorn fan base. But you know what? If you watch the same games I do, you'd agree. That's all.
And we don't have to fight about it. We'll settle it on the field. It's okay. We'll show you how good you are. That's what I am overly confident in Ohio State. That's almost scary now. It used to be cautiously optimistic.
What happened to you not jinxing them?
Oh, no, I don't care about that. The only jinx is if Ryan Day decides to go back to being who he was 3 weeks ago instead of being who he has been the last couple of weeks. Because that's the only thing that can stop Ohio. Ohio State showed you what the talent on the team is capable of doing. The coach showed you what the kids are capable of doing if he steps out of their way and allow the offensive coordinator, Chip Kelly, to go full throttle.
So here's a little BK coaching tip for the Buckeyes. You know that guy, number four, Jeremiah Smith? You throw him the ball, great things happen. You don't let your best player touch the ball, it's going to be a lot harder. He is
about like running the ball 15 times against a team that doesn't have cornerbacks because you're scared to throw the ball, which is like what Ryan Day typically does.
Correct.
Let Chip Kelly coach, please. It's obvious that something has been different the last couple of weeks. And I dare say it's the amount of leeway the better offensive mind has been given. I don't know that to be a fact. I just know it's true.
And that's the truth.
Isn't that a heck of a segue into the truth of nothing but the truth? That wasn't even one of the questions in the truth of nothing but the truth. Let's go ahead and kick off the segment, BK. Our truth in nothing but the truth. Rest or go for it? Which school of thought do you think should be more prevalent as far as, you know, end of the NFL example, end of the season, you can't lose or gain footing? Do you rest or do you play them? There are a few different scenarios that may have stuck out to you, but what's normally the way you lean between those two schools of thought?
So for me, when I look back at all the NFL games I've watched, and there's been a game or two. So for me, I'm all about finishing the season strong and getting the reps in and playing the games. Because in general, what I found is when I look back over all the years and thought about these things and obviously did research, teams that tend to rest their players, in general, you lose that momentum, especially if you're then you have a bye, because then you're not playing for 3 weeks and you're sitting around waiting, and everything is about rhythm, timing, and momentum. So all that momentum you build over the whole season, I worry that you're over 3 weeks of not doing anything is gonna, you're gonna be sluggish and rusty, and you don't wanna have to deal with that. So
agreed.
Now, as we are gonna talk about in a little bonus segment later, I'm gonna contradict what I just said, but there's a reason why. But in general, I think that you need to go for it and keep the momentum going. What do you think?
I 100% agree. You get paid to play the game. Fans paid to watch the game. I didn't pay for you to sit on your behind because of how many games you've won or lost already, first of all. Let's start there. You know, with me, BK, money is near and dear to my heart, and thriftiness is as well. If I splurge what it would take to take myself and my family to one of those games, and you just decide that for the heck of it, you're not coming to work that day, I want my money back. Period. I will tear that whole stadium down. Somebody better give me my money. I didn't come here to watch the backup to the backup play. What are we doing? If that's the case, then everyone who's paid to watch that game, they should get 3/4 of their money back because the product on the field is not what they paid to see, period. There's no other way. I don't care if we're talking about NFL. I don't care if we're talking about basketball, baseball. You get paid to win the game. If you're not hurt, play the game, period. Plain and simple for me, BK.
Can't argue that.
What we got next?
So what's your reaction to the Eagles sitting Saquon Barkley and costing him a shot at the NFL season rushing record?
I'm about to have a coughing fit in the middle of this one because I feel myself, I feel my temperature rising already on this one, BK. Matter of fact, I feel so passionate about the answer I'm about to give you for this one that I don't even know if I'm going to have a rant when it's all said and done. I may have a statement or two to make about something that I'll come up with by the time it's time for it. But how dare you? How dare you let me get this close to an unbreakable record and now I can get less than what I've averaged in each game over the season? And break said record, but you now want to keep the bubble wrap on? You gave me almost 30 carries last week when Hurts was hurt. Hurts will probably still be under concussion protocol. But now you're telling me that it's not up to – it'll have been different if you said, hey, this is what we think, but it's the ball's in your court. It's up to you. No, 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 no. Nick Sirianni had the unmitigated gall to say that it's not up to me. So what you're saying is if I walk out on the field and get behind the quarterback before the quarterback says hike, we're either going to have a penalty for 12 men on the field, or you're going to sit your narrow behind over there on that bench and let me do it? Because that's pretty much the two options we got right now. And guess which one we're going with? That's how I feel. There's no way. There's no way. Nope. I won't say no one because we didn't think anyone would get this close to begin with. But to not give me the opportunity, Look, BK, correct me if I'm wrong. Does somebody win the Super Bowl every year?
Yes.
Someone wins the Super Bowl every year. Okay.
Every year.
Have the Eagles won multiple Super Bowls?
They've won. Yeah, they've won a couple.
So what you're telling me is I have the opportunity to do something that has never been done. But your goal of doing something that happens every year should trump that? You're telling me I can't do what I get paid to do because this week it doesn't benefit you. I would be swinging on everybody in the room. The way you feel about week 18, well, guess what? That's the way I feel about the first week of the playoffs. You can kiss my narrow behind. No. That's how I feel about it.
So for the record, good people, I don't disagree with my buddy. But I'm going to do what you do so well and play devil's advocate. So, hence the smirk. So, last I checked, this is not a me, it's a team. And the ultimate goal and team prize is to win the Super Bowl and be as healthy as possible, right? So it makes sense when you already have a banged up starting quarterback that you want to rest your best offensive weapon to avoid getting hurt in a meaningless game and rest up for the playoffs. Now, again, I'm just throwing this out here because I agree with you. So I don't want to get, I don't want to be, strapped to the pole outside of our work building. While I agree with you, all joking aside, I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I can at least understand the other side of it, which is, especially somebody who's had injury problems before, I'd hate for him to get hurt. The other thing that I've read, and I don't agree with, but I'll throw it out here, is knowing that Dickerson did it in 16 games and Barkley is short in 16 games, is he really breaking the record when he had an extra game to do so?
Well, let me answer that question. Because you looked at the games, but did you look at the amount of attempts? Because guess who has the least amount of attempts between the two?
Probably Barkley.
Exactly. So my thing is this. Football has changed. It took him less games because it was a running game at that point. They hardly ever threw the ball. I can give the same what-if scenario, if you will, to the opposite side. What if they ran the ball today as much as they ran the ball when he broke the record? Do you think that Saquon would be a little bit closer to it? And the fact that he has less carries to be where he is right now in comparison?
No, he'd be ahead of it.
So, I mean, I hear you. I let the talking heads such as me and you discuss that after I broke his yardage record. We can talk about whether it count after I beat the record. That's where I'm at with it. But for you not to give me, because I might get hurt. I might have got hurt all these other 16 games. But now all of a sudden we want to talk about a person might get hurt? Nah.
Well, and real quick, this goes back to what I always say, right? So we go back to the other question about rest or go for it, right? The reason why I'm a go for it person is you can't coach and be scared and afraid of injuries. Injuries happen in football. It's more important to play and maintain the momentum and the continuity and the rhythm of what you've established versus sit out. Remember, they sat out all preseason. Your first month of the NFL season was basically glorified preseason games that now count. How much are we resting you now? And why are we paying you $30 million if you're resting half the year or a third of the year or way too much of the season? So I agree with you. I just wanted to throw it out there just to give the other side. You guys can decide at home.
Yeah, just make sure you decide with me unless you're wrong. So, yeah, that's how that goes. Don't be wrong, people. Be right. Be better than the thought process of thinking that it's okay to rest for someone else's goal. It just rubs me the wrong way, man. That's just so, like, you mean to tell me we couldn't play one quarter of a game and you tell me that's all I got? Like throw a dog a bone. I did all of this year for you, and now you can't let me go out and play at least a quarter of a game? He needs like 80 yards, man.
So
he's gotten two carries.
So again, all you guys can see the smirk when I'm about to say this. Here it is, right? So here's the thing that surprises me, what we didn't talk about, Sirianni making this decision. He already had an issue last year with the locker room, and there was a big battle with him and Hurts. So he's already not a player's coach to begin with. This was an opportunity to kind of, for lack of better words, show goodwill towards your team and your star player and say, hey, look, rather than make the decision for him, ask him what he wants to do. Hey, do you want to break the record or do you want to rest? It's your call. That goes a lot better than saying, yes, sorry, too bad, we're not going to play. And
it's not an individual record either. That's a record for your running back, your team, and the entire O-line. That solidifies the fact that this O-line has been ridiculously heads and shoulders above others, even after losing Kelce, who's the best center that we've seen. So you mean to tell me a guy goes from the Giants, who had no offensive line to speak of, to finally come into a team with an offensive line in year one? He goes from being a really good running back to, well, dag, if he had been here his entire career, we'd be discussing who else could possibly be any greater than him. This man could have done this every year. Most of his quote-unquote injury proneness was because he was getting touched 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage and still making something happen. I don't know, man. I don't know. I would find another team with just as good an offensive line and go do it there next year. I have no commitment to you anymore, Eagles. Fix this now. You still got time. It's okay to come back out and say, hey, you know what? We thought about it. We're going to let him go for it. have the rah-rah moment 10 minutes before. Ah, we got you. You thought we weren't going to let them play, didn't you? We got you. Gotcha. Like something. Like do something. This just don't work. Like if I'm a player and I know that if, God forbid, you have any incentive money attached to this thing. Like I just, moving on, BK. Moving on. Moving on.
So we have a BK bonus topic here.
What we got?
So the Chiefs, I'm going to give you my take and you're going to tell me if this makes sense or not. The correct answer is, of course, it does. So see, you're rubbing off on me. The Chiefs are strategically resting all of their key players versus the Broncos for two reasons. One, obviously the much needed rest, which that's a given, but also to keep the Bengals out of the playoffs, who've been a kind of a thorn in their side. The Broncos are an easier foe in the playoffs than the Bengals. To me, this is intentional. Discuss.
Mm-hmm. Well, BK, we're men of a certain age, and I'm sure you can remember the quote that I'm about to make, who made the quote, and how you felt about said person making said quote quite often, actually. But back in the day, before wrestling became all entertainment and soap opera, there was a young man who had a very inspirational quote that simply said this: to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Woo!
There you go. Nature boy, Ric Flair. BK, don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? This is soft. Like, you're not resting them because they need rest. You're resting them because if you see the Broncos or Bengals in the playoffs, you definitely prefer to see the Broncos versus seeing your version of Kryptonite, which is the Bengals, which for me, I would prefer to say, we're the team of destiny and nobody can stop us. And once we get past that team, I don't care who we see in the Super Bowl, because you know it's going down. I feel this way the same way I feel about the NBA and their load management and all that kind of stuff. For as much as people are paying to watch you play, if you are not hurt, it is not your decision whether or not you're on the field, period. It's not the coach's decision. It's not the owner's decision. It's not the GM's decision. If you are not hurt, I have paid you to play this game, play the game. A part of the integrity of the game is actually making it through unscathed or dealing with whatever comes as it comes, like everybody else. Like, it's soft, soft.
So I don't mean to poke the bear again, but we're going to move to the final truth and but nothing but the truth part of the segment.
Okay.
So, is it time to stop giving SEC teams extra credit for beating each other during conference play? Have the other Power Four conferences caught to the mighty SEC?
Well, BK, I'm glad you asked this question. And I for sure won't have a rant tonight at this point, because kudos to BK. BK, look, you've asked the question that has allowed me for the third time now to just go off. And I appreciate that, because every now and then, that's near and dear to my heart. I just kind of want to let the people know where I'm coming from. And as it pertains to this, I told you and Vander weeks ago that it was time. And this was the year that was going to prove it. What SEC team is so good that you deserve extra credit for beating them? Bama lost to Michigan. Michigan didn't even make it into the playoffs, and this is 12 teams that make it in. Okay? Georgia got whipped by Notre Dame. South Carolina got beat by the Fighting Illini, who no one in their right mind would go kicking and screaming for as far as being an upper echelon team. I was talking to you guys about them a few weeks ago. And matters of fact, the two teams that I brought up was, if you compare the Illini and South Carolina, one of them, you're telling me, is a football team. The other one, quote unquote, isn't a football team. But if they met up, I bet you Illini would beat the Gamecocks. And that's exactly what happened. We got to stop this, you know, you beat the school of the blind, and because you beat the school of the blind, then, and when I say the school of the blind, there's at least three or four SEC teams that fall into that category every year, just like with most other conferences. So stop this, well, we can lose to them because they're in our conference and they know us well, and they da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You don't think Michigan knows us well? You don't think every team in the Big Ten knows OSU? You don't think every team in every conference knows the teams in the conference? Cut the bull jive. Like, if this year hasn't shown you that there's much more parity in college, and we, and a win is a win and a loss is a loss, I don't know what else to say. This also goes towards something that you always say, BK. Why are we ranking these teams before like week 8? It doesn't make sense. That's where the extra credit comes in, because you've already ranked these SEC teams. Like it's just a given that they're going to be good. And then you don't want to swallow your pride and then rank them where they should be after they start taking L's. If this year didn't show it, I don't know what will. I'm just glad we're in a position where the number of teams that are in the playoff takes it out of the committee's hands to have teams that actually did deserve to be there not be there for a blue blood that they just know the name and feel like because they're that, because of the name on their jersey, they should be there. Like, they just deserved it before the season ever started. So to answer your question, it is absolutely past time. And that wraps up my rant for this week.
Don't buy that, guys. There's more coming. So I think we'd all agree that Nick Saban had a little bit of success as a college coach. And
oh, BK, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I got to get this out real quick. Sure. Real quick.
Yeah.
I also find it extremely fascinating that when it's legal for everyone to pay players, all of a sudden the SEC ain't quite that good anymore. But go on.
I think it's telling that Saban left when he did. Because, you know, and we can joke about how now that the playing field isn't level that he left. But I think there's an element of truth to the fact that you brought up the ranking part that I've mentioned multiple dozen times, right? We get these experts, and I use this loosely because they're not. But random college football experts have recruiting class rankings, and they rank where these teams' rankings are each year. Really? Like, they know. Come on. I mean, I might as well flip a coin, because that's about how good they are doing it. Second of all, now that we have NIL in the transfer portal, it's completely changed the landscape, and there is a level playing field. So, yes, while it's true that the SEC still has won 13 of the last 18 titles, and they have dominated the sport, it's going to be harder to do that moving forward now that these players will go anywhere. You can't have your team stacked 5 running backs on your roster because now someone else is going to pay them millions of dollars to start for them. It doesn't work like that anymore. So, and now that you're playing more playoff games, it's not just you're trying to win 2 to win the title. You're going to have to win 3 or 4. It's going to make it harder to do, which is going to make it even more difficult. Under the current landscape, like it or not, SEC country, it's time to understand. You don't have to embrace it, but you're going to have to learn to deal with the fact that college football, the landscape has changed for the foreseeable future. I won't say forever, because you never know when it'll change again. But if for the foreseeable future, it's going to be like this, where it's going to be the wild, wild west. And any given Saturday, anybody can do it.
It ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. That's basically where we at right now. BK, One of my favorite parts of the show. I feel like I learned something about you just about every week in this part of the show. Our all-time top five something. And this one I felt was apropos because everyone has a favorite one of these things, or several. And that's top five TV families. Not saying that the best family, the worst family, what family did you like? What was your favorite? Top five TV families all time. What are we starting out with, BK? What's your number five?
So number five, The Banks, Fresh Prince. Always enjoyed watching Fresh Prince. So The Banks.
For me, and I just remembered their name. I didn't remember the name at first, BK, I'm gonna be honest with you. I was just gonna tell you the name of the TV show, but it just came across my mind. And The Harpers.
Mm-hmm.
Mama's Family. That is one of the most underrated shows in the history of sitcoms. Was it Mama's Family or Mama's House? Or Mama's Family, okay. Yeah, I absolutely love that family dynamic. It reminded me a whole lot more of what I saw in family reunions and situations than some of the other houses where I was like, dang, people do that? Like, that's really, people get along that way? Like, that family was more reminiscent of what I see most American families resembling than many others. So, yeah,
I'm
definitely one of my favorite families. Who's number four for you?
So number four, the Bundys. Gotta love Peg and Al, Married with Children.
That was one of my favorite shows as well. And I'll give an honorable mention to the Bundys for sure. That was definitely one of my favorite shows. Number four for me, the Evans. Good Times. Ain't we lucky we got them? Like that show really embodied what the vast majority of Black America was dealing with in the areas that they were living in, the issues that they were dealing with, the issues within the household itself, outside of the household, the neighborhood, the school. Like, it was really relatable. So, Debs, what you got for number three?
Number three, we're going to go back to Full House and the Tanners. I loved that show growing up.
Absolutely. Uncle Jesse was my favorite. I'm going to be honest with you. I think just about every man wanted to be Uncle Jesse. I'm just being honest with you.
Amen, Zay. Amen.
It was one of my favorite shows for sure. And side note, I always wanted a dog like Comet. Like, I love the dog. Like, for me, Comet was as much as a part of the family as the actual human beings in the family. I'm looking for Comet on every episode. Like, wait a minute. Where's Comet? Forget Michelle. Michelle DJ and was it Ashley? Michelle DJ and wasn't it Ashley? Stephanie?
Stephanie.
Yeah. Where's Comet? That's who I want to see. Yeah. Uncle Joey was hilarious too. So, and BK, you would have never got me to believe that of all the family members on the show, the dad was the dirty mouth. If you go back and actually watch his stand-up comedy, I don't know how he got that gig. But it don't correlate. Like what he was as
it's
dad.
It's hard to believe.
Have you seen his stand-up?
Oh yeah.
It's hilarious, but it's out there. And I was just like, how did Danny Tanner get this job? Because this is 1 + 1 = 11, not 2. But yeah, number three for me, the Sanfords. The thing I loved about the Sanfords was the fact that they love each other, but they're not afraid to give each other crap. And that's my kind of family. Like, we ain't got to be touchy-feely, you know. Call it as you see it. Call it out if you see it. And let's move on with life. And that show was just epic. Epic. And one of the shows that I was going to have is number two. No, I'll put the other show that I was going to. Let me throw out another honorable mention right quick as I speak on the Sanfords. The Jeffersons. Definitely another one of my favorite TV families, hands down. But I still got two others for number two and number one.
Love that show, too. Love both of those. So, yeah, good calls.
Who is your number two, my guy?
The Huxtables.
Gotta be.
You can't have a top five without the Huxtables.
You can't. You can't. I don't care what's happened before, after, or doing. I don't care if the allegations are true. I will watch the Cosbys tonight if they put it on TV. That was just my show. Like, it's way too many actors, actresses, et cetera, that have done a whole bunch of dirt for us to just start randomly deciding that once we find out something 30 years after the fact, that we're going to remove TV shows because we wouldn't have TV anymore. I dare you find one Hollywood studio where something went left when it was supposed to go right. I digress. Moving on. The Huxtables are my number one. I'll go ahead and put it out there. Number two for me, the Winslows. Mm. Why? Because family matters. That was my show. Steve Urkel. Chasing Laura around. Look, Judy was only on the show for like, I don't know what happened to Judy. I don't know if she ran away from home, if she got lost somewhere, but Judy and who I will refer to as the, no, not Aunt Viv. What was her? That was the Fresh Prince, but the original mom on the show, her. And Jamie got lost, I think, like one season apart from each other. And they still kept the show going, and it was still a great show. So I just, those are the shows that really meant something to me. Coming, good, wholesome, sit around the TV with the entire family versus having to tell somebody to go to bed. Like, it's like, we're missing this nowadays because you can't even watch a show that comes on at 8 o'clock at night and not worry about your youngest kid hearing foul language because it's just commonplace at this point. So you remember TGI Friday? Like every single show was a family show and it was amazing to watch. You literally planned your Friday night around what was coming on TV. Why? Because there was no DVR. There was no on demand. None of that. You either saw it or you didn't. Mm-hmm. And everyone wanted to see it. Every episode of these shows.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number one for you, my guy. What'd you got?
The Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
So the Brady Bunch, number one for me.
Another classic. Another classic. Can't even. It's debatable, but I won't debate it. Because it just makes sense. It is up there. That's one of my honorable mentions as well. I'll throw that out there. Any honorable mentions for you?
Nope.
All righty. Well, that wraps up our all-time top five. And now, BK, I'm going to need you to make sure you're on it this week. We didn't have BK's best bets last week. And I'm not saying this is correlation, causation, or there may be no relation. But I lost money last week, okay, BK? I'm not saying it's your fault. Don't hear what I'm not saying, BK. All I'm saying is I didn't hear any of BK's best bets, and I didn't win last week. Let's rectify that this week. Now, I will say, I'm going to throw this out there real quick, little jab. I did, however, win three fantasy championships out of the eight leagues that I was in, and of those three, two of them, well, over Vander. So that was a little extra sauce. And one of them was a money league. The other one was the actual gospel sports truth league. So the namesake league I won had to show y'all I don't play games. I do this for real. And then the league I've been in now probably about 15 years, I officially am the only champion with four championships in said league. Vander one step behind with three. So you know that felt great. But yeah.
I have I have no doubt how often he heard about that.
Not at all. You know why I didn't bring it up? I didn't bring it up at all to him. You know why? I don't want to give him any additional motivation to work any harder than he already does that fantasy. Because guess what? I still got to play in the league with that guy. So no extra motivation. Me winning was all the motivation that guy did. He's already started working on next year, which made me start working on next year as far as Dynasty is concerned. Made a trade today, actually. And I got another one in process. So, yeah, that's where we are. I digress.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yes, sir. Better believe it.
So, Zay, I'm going to do something that before the holidays that you made a point of saying that I usually never do.
Okay.
But we're going to start the new year with bravado. Let's do a 2024 betting recap. We went through March Madness. I picked the winners, men's and women's. We talked about the French Open, nailed that. We talked Wimbledon, nailed that. We talked college baseball, nailed that. We talked about the NBA playoffs, nailed that. We talked about the NHL hockey playoffs, nailed that. Remember those vintage plus 700 MVP bets that we nailed in the NBA and in the NHL playoffs?
Yes,
not
sir,
only that. I called the election 4 months before it happened. The fools who get paid to do this couldn't do it the day before. 4 months in advance. We even changed candidates on me and it didn't matter. Well, a candidate on me and it didn't matter. We nailed the NFL. Blazing hot. You told me up what? 400%? 400%. College football, not nearly as great as the NFL or these other ones, but still very, very profitable. So, this is the time. Pay attention. Write it down. Make sure you don't miss out on this. Because those of you who didn't do what Zay did and follow the advice in 2024 missed out on a lot of money. Don't make that same mistake. With that being said, don't be foolish enough to bet this week's NFL games when we don't know who's playing, how long they're playing, does anybody care? Do not do that to yourself. The one and only game that needs to be on your radar, and I'm going to actually give you two games now that we know the matchups. The best bet, the Ohio State Buckeyes will beat Texas.
Absolutely.
In the Cotton Bowl. It'll be the Buckeyes in the national title game. Why? Because they're the most talented team left in the college football playoff. Their defense is terrific. Their offense is scary good when it's allowed to cook like it needs to. Throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith. At any rate, Buckeyes win. They're going to win comfortably over the Longhorns, who haven't played a good game in 6 weeks. I love the Buckeyes. In the other playoff semifinal, no luck needed here. Give me the Fighting Irish. The Irish will face the Buckeyes in the national title game. Penn State's been great. They've blown out both their opponents. This Notre Dame team is another breed. They're going to be tough to deal with. They're the better defensive team. They're the better coach team, in my opinion. I like Notre Dame and Ohio State to play in the national title. And those are the best bets.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Let's go ahead and round out the show with this week's Can't Miss Weekly Rants. BK, I'll start us out this week because this one is more of a soul cry than a rant. I'm going to be honest with you. And it's a soul cry because my absolutely beautiful, amazing, couldn't do better if I handcrafted myself wife, in her infinite wisdom, got me what was tantamount to the perfect Christmas present, Bika. And as life would have it, I was not able to enjoy said Christmas present because I ended up catching the flu. So I'm going to tell you where I was supposed to be this past Sunday, Bika. I was supposed to be in floor seats at the Carolina women's basketball game. Ended up not being able to go. And then I get pictures of my wife and one of her best friends with Don Staley, with several of the players. Awesome win for the Lady Gamecocks. Better win in life for my wife. And I'm a little salty about that. I'm going to be honest with you. Obviously, the issue is there's no one to be salty with. It feels like every year around the holidays, I end up catching a cold or the flu or something, and it throws off plans. This may be like the second time she's gotten me like an awesome gift that I couldn't partake in because I was sick. Personal issues and all that kind of great stuff, indeed, but this is my can't miss weekly rant. And I guess I'm ranting about me and missing out on an opportunity of a lifetime due to being sick. The seats were stupid, BK. I mean, like you'd get kicked out, but you can reach out and touch the players if you wanted to. But that wraps it up for me this week. Thanks again for the gift, sweetheart. You did your job admirably, as you do with everything that you do. BK, what you got to wrap it up for the people?
I'm going to do something that I've never done on this show before.
Uh-oh. I'm waiting with bated breath for this one. What you got?
I'm going to have two rants.
Well, let me sit back and shut up. Go right ahead, Mr. BK.
Rant number one. To piggyback what you said off about the flu, and I'm really sorry you weren't feeling well and missed out on that, because that was an awesome gift that she got you for sure. So I'm going to share a little health thing here for a second. So you weren't the only one who got the flu over the holidays. And I had not had the flu for 20 years prior to last Christmas and this Christmas. Do you know how I got the flu? Because of ridiculous nonsense and very, 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 very sick, selfish people on my flight for the second year in a row got me sick. I came to Cleveland healthy, and then later on in said trip, got sick. Thankfully, last year was a 24-hour bug. This year, probably a little less than 36 hours. In either case, and before you guys start on your little blowing up my email and comments about should have got the flu shot, you know better. Here's the deal. The last time I did that, I got the flu 20 years ago. Why would I want to do that to myself again? I'll suffer for the 24 or 36 hours and call it a day. But what I need people on the plane to do is if you're coughing up the lung and bringing the plague on the plane, stop. You need to do better. That's all I need to say about that, because it's ridiculous. Like, two of the people on the plane three rows back from me, like, I thought they were going to need, like, a new lung. That's how much they were coughing. Like, I don't know how they made it through the whole flight. In either case, do better. Thank you. This will not happen in 2025. And that is another BK best bet. I will fly.
That's right. We're only flying private going forward, BK. Why? Because we got it like that.
Listen, I need sponsorship, nurses, donations, GoFundMe, whatever we need to do. But my butt will be in first class because we are not dealing with this again. And that is the truth. My second rant. So, I don't even know how to say this. I need us to do better when it comes to, I'm going to go back to something I said a dozen times last year. Can we please, please fix officiating and the replay booth? Because my brother and I have gotten in this debate a handful of times. And the argument I always hear is, if we have the technology to get it right, we should use it. And in theory, that sounds great. I'm all for it. Sign me up. But there's two problems with this. One, the officials have gotten lazier because they feel like replay will bail out their mistakes. So they're not in the right position. They don't make the right call. And they let things go they shouldn't, hoping replay will or should catch it. Well, here's the newsflash. The replay booth doesn't. They continuously shit the bed. I need you to do better. Replay officials, do your job. Don't miss targeting. Don't miss scoring plays. Don't miss receptions. Don't miss first downs. It's not that complicated. It's not hard to get the call right. And to be honest with you, it's very simple. If you can't do it effectively, stop doing it. Because, and I'm going to go back to a game earlier in the year where Vautech literally got hosed by the officials against Miami.
Yep.
I don't have a vested interest in this. And to be honest with you, it's what I said multiple months ago. I'm going to repeat real quick now. If that was Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State or Michigan, that crew would have never worked another game in the history of college football. But because nobody cares about Vautech or Miami, we're just letting it happen. Please do better. Fix this. Take pride in what you do. Stop making these mistakes. None of us are perfect. I'm not asking for perfection. I'm asking for progress. And I'm asking you to stop being lazy. Get it done. And that's the truth.
Do your job. Simple as an answer. Do your job. And that about wraps it up for us this week, guys. We will be back on Wednesday of next week for the weekend reaction shows. There will be a lot to talk about as far as that's concerned. Can't wait for it. And hey, always remember, you guys, tell the truth.
And nothing but the truth.
We out. See y'all later.
Happy New Year, all.